Thank you, Jesus. Someone said, thank you, Jesus. Someone said, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. That's right. The scriptures say we should not be moved by any afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now, how many of you know that's in the scriptures? In our First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. You know, the scripture encourages us, or actually admonishes us, that we should not be moved by any of these afflictions. For we ourselves know that we were appointed unto. I mean, how can we be appointed unto afflictions? You know, but scripture also says that we must, you know, through many tribulations, that's how we enter into the kingdom of God. You know, the life that we live now, it's not, you know, God never said it would be a bed of roses. He never said it would be without affliction. But contrary-wise, he said many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalm 34 and verse 19. But what does the Lord do? What does he do? He delivers the righteous out of them all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now that is all. He delivers us out of them all. All right. Well, welcome. Good morning. And praise the Lord, everyone. I am going to share a message. That was just something to exhaust us, you know, because of so many things that we've been hearing. Just to make sure that your heart is not moved. Amen. Don't be moved by anything. Be steadfast and unmovable. Hallelujah. So these things must come. We are buffeted on every side, but we are not cast down. We are not dismayed. Even when we are cast down, we are not destroyed. Even when we are persecuted, we are not forsaken. When the enemy knocks us down, according to Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, we will arise again. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, let us all be confident in the Lord. However, that's not really what I want to share with us today. I just wanted to put that out there just to encourage us, you know, so we're not discouraged. I mean, we have heard, you know, some of our brethren were in accident, this and that and so forth. Well, you know, these things do happen, but, you know, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. How many of you believe the Lord is good? Amen. That's right. You know, the Lord is good. So let us, you know, be confident in the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 31 and verses 6 and 8 says, fear not, be not dismayed. It is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. He will not fail you, and he will not forsake you. Praise the Lord. He will never forsake you. Isaiah 43 and 2 says, look, when you pass through, so there are some key things there. When means it's going to come. That's Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When means it's going to come. And pass through means you are getting out on the other side. Amen. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall it kindle upon thee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so that's just to encourage us. I want to pray for a minute. Then I'll bring the topic of my real exhortation for today. But that was just to encourage us. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because the entrance of your words bring light. And it giveth understanding to the simple. Now, the Lord God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, let him command that light to shine in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I want to share briefly with us today, you know, the rewards of obedience. But I want to call it more of, you know, active and passive obedience. So, I'm going to be talking about that for just a little bit. And, you know, what is the difference between active and passive obedience? So, I want to first of all start here by reading 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. So, we're talking today about, you know, the rewards of obedience. And then I've got in parentheses, you know, active and passive obedience. Now, here's one point blank reward that he puts out here. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, right away we see two types of obedience here. Keeping his commandments, that's active obedience. He commands and we do. Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. When he commands, we do. That's active obedience. Passive obedience is more like submission or doing the things that we know are pleasing in his sight. We just submit our will, you know. I mean, you have your own will. You can say, well, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that. Paul said, look, all things may be expedient unto me. I mean, sorry, rather, all things may be lawful, but all things are not necessarily expedient. And there are some things that we yield, you know, like in Romans chapter 14, he said, look, I may want to do this, I may want to do that, I may want to eat this, I may want to do that, you know, but it may make somebody else stumble. And if it's going to make somebody else stumble, then I'm not going to do it, even though I could do it. You know, that is submission to what is pleasing to the Father, and also recognizing that Christ died for those people that may stumble. You know, now, Moses prayed in, you know, Exodus 33, he said, Lord, show me thy way that I may know thee. Well, for us to know the Lord, we need to see how the Lord did things. I mean, Jesus was in all things subject unto the Father. So must we be subject to the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, he said, look, the Father who sent me has not left me alone. Why? Because I do always those things that please him. So, this is Jesus' statement. He can say, Jesus could say boldly that the Father did not leave him, because he always did the things that were pleasing in the Father's sight. And also, he's talking about commandments. He said, look, this commandment I have received of my Father, that of all that he should give me, I should lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. Now, that's a commandment. And he put his life for that commandment, to seek and to save that which was lost, and to purchase us back. But we see also that he was always doing the things that are willing to the Father. He said the Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him or tells him. Well, I won't speak very long today because I want to do some prayers at the end. But let me say this, that There are many things that we have to gain by obeying the word of God and doing the will of the Father. You know, there are a lot of things that we have to lose if we don't. Now, Adam and Eve, through disobedience, in fact, the Bible calls it in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. We see all those things there. It's actually the disobedience of one man. So Adam's disobedience caused us to lose a lot of things. Now, on the other hand, the obedience of one man, Christ, gained us back many things. Well, let's see individually how we must relate to the Holy Spirit now. Because as the Father was to Jesus in his earthly ministry, so is the Holy Spirit to us now. You know, the Father would lead him and he would do. The Holy Spirit will lead us now and we must do. You know, there is no question asked. In fact, here is the way that Jesus brought out some of the most remarkable benefits of obedience. I'm going to read it to you in John chapter 14. Now, the most remarkable rewards of obedience. In John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus would have this to say, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So Jesus defines, say, "I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord." Well, he's defining it here. If you have my commandments, when you keep them, then that shows you love me. And here is the benefit or the reward to such a one. "And he that loveth me," remember, "he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is the one that loves me." Jesus said that. Then he goes on to say, "And that person that loves me, who is the one that's keeping my commandments, here is what will happen. He shall be loved of my Father." Well, let's stop there. Are you trying to tell me, Lord, that, I mean, we know that God so loved the world. I mean, he already loved everybody. Why are you saying now that if I keep your commandment, then the Father will love me? You know? And Jesus said, "Well, and I will love him too. And will manifest myself to him." So, actually, the disciples asked the same question that I'm asking now. Read the next verse in verse 22. They said, you know, "Well, why is it that, you know, you will manifest yourself unto us and not to the world?" You know, why are you talking about manifesting yourself? You know, one of the disciples asked, you know, so. And Jesus went further to explain it again. Read the next verse. Jesus answered and said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now, everybody says, you know, the Lord is with us, and so on and so forth. You know, but Jesus is saying something here. We have John 3:16 on the one hand. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So there is some kind of love that is described here. But then again, when you look at John 14, 21 and 23, there's a different kind of love that is described here. Now, the one in John 3:16 is the one that God loves everybody, whether you do his will or not, whether you keep his commandment or not, whether you give your life to Christ or not, no matter what you did or didn't do, God loves the world. And he gave his Son for that. Now, Jesus is the gift of God to the world. Now, the gift of God to the one that loves him is the very dwelling presence of the Father. Jesus said, "We will come to him and make our abode with him." Now, make our abode with him. Let's think about that for a minute. The Bible says that, you know, his presence is everywhere. We call him Jehovah Shammah. In fact, Psalm 139 says, "I can't get away from your presence. The clouds cannot cover me. Darkness cannot cover me. Even hell you know, no matter where, you know, if the presence of God, and here's how I always ask it, if the presence of God is everywhere, and if Psalm 16 tells us that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, then there ought to be, let's run that argument by us again. The presence of God is everywhere. We all know that. Well, the psalmist said, in his presence is fullness of joy. Okay, well, then there should be fullness of joy everywhere. Because the presence of God is everywhere. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you this way. There are different kinds of God's presence. There is a so-called universal presence of God, you know, which because of his omniscience, he knows everything. Nothing is hidden from him. But that's not his revealed presence. His revealed presence, I will manifest myself to him. That's with the person that loves him and is keeping his commandments. That's not for everybody. You say, well, you know, some people actually think that, you know, God just treats everybody all the same. Well, let me bust that bubble today. That's a myth. That's not even in the scriptures. The treating of everybody the same is John 3:16. But it ends there. You know. Now, when you begin to love the Lord with all your heart, and you begin to keep his commandments, you know, and you are chasing after God in always wanting to do even the things that are pleasing to him. Look, the things that he commands points back. You do it because you are keeping his commandments. But there are other things, even if he has not commanded it point blank, you do it anyway because you know that that's what pleases him. Now, that's passive obedience. That's submission. You just submit yourself to his will. You know, well, I could do this, but it doesn't please the Father. So I'll do what pleases the Father, even though he didn't point blank command me not to do it. Are you still with me? Because some people say, well, you know, that's not in the Bible. They argue a lot of things to their own perishing. Because the Bible says, look, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when you keep my commandments, I will come after you. Now, I like to say it this way. There is a line. It's like you draw a line. There's a line that when you cross that line, God starts to chase you. Yeah, you are the one chasing God before. But now, when you cross that line, he'll come after you. He said, I will come after you. I'm coming for you. I will make my abode. Because now, he has seen that you are someone that will do his will. You are someone that will love him and keep his commandments. So it's not just you chasing after him now. Yeah, chasing after him all your life. But now, when you cross that line, he will stand up and he will come after you. And I will come after him and I will make my abode with him. Now, he doesn't make his abode with everybody. Now, of course, his universal presence, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That's there. But there is something about keeping his commandments. When you keep his commandments, ladies and gentlemen, and today, nobody wants to keep his commandments because they think, well, his commandments are too grievous. Bible says his commandments are not even grievous. Because he knows. He gave us that commandment and those commandments for our own good. Now, if we don't keep the commandments, well, we may lose right to certain things in the Bible. Blessed are those that keep his commandments, for they shall have right to the tree of life. Now, when you do his commandments and you do the will of God, there are many things that God will bring your way. Now, I don't want to preach very long today, you know, so that's why I just drop these few things. But let me tell you this. I'll tell you this. That there was a marked presence of the Father upon Christ. You know, because he kept the Father's commandments. It, no matter what. I mean, Jesus, there was, you know, he said, look, the Son will do nothing except what the Father shows him. And if the Father shows him something that even looks weird, well, that's what he would do. I mean, it's like one day he was going to heal the sick. And think about this. Maybe the Father showed him, don't do it here. Go over there. You know, take him out of the city. And so, he could have healed him right there. It didn't make any difference out of the city here or whatever. He healed him anytime. But because the Father showed him something different, he did it as the Father showed. Now, it's obedience. Now, obedience has to also be complete. It cannot be partial. You know, partial obedience is, you know, we do some, but not all, you know, for God commands. Scripture says, you know, he that keeps all the law and breaks one is guilty of all. You know, so, you know, let's think about this, because there are two aspects of this lesson today that I want you to consider. The aspect of actively keeping his commandments. That's one aspect. The second aspect is doing the will of the Father. Doing the will of the Father. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's also another aspect that we see there, which is keeping the commandment of God in its completeness and entirety. Not doing some of it and justifying ourselves that we have done it. Well, we see the story of Saul, you know, how that in that chapter, he did, you know, some part of what God commanded him, you know, and he was actually thinking that he had done everything. You know, so he did part of it, whereas the Lord gave commandments for them to take, you know, these Amalekites and kill all of them and so forth, spare nothing. Well, he did most of it, but he spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. In his mind, we're going to use that to give sacrifice to the Lord. What can be wrong with that? And the Lord said, well, you know, because you did not sanctify my word, the kingdom is rent from you. See? That's a dangerous thing. He lost the kingdom because he did not keep the words of God completely. But he argued to Samuel and said, but I have kept the word of God. I have kept his commandments. I've done what he said. And Samuel said, well, what then about these bleating of these sheep that I'm hearing over here? Where did this sheep come from? Say, well, okay, that one was just because, you know, people wanted us to do this and that. And we were thinking of doing sacrifice to the Lord and so forth. You know, has the Lord as much pleasure in sacrifice and offering as in obedience? Obey my voice. You know, that's what the Lord used to tell them throughout the Old Testament. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Why? Because he was trying to get that into their psyche. You know, in Exodus 15 and 26, if you will obey my voice indeed, hearken to my commandments and do my statutes and all of these things, then I will not put any of these sicknesses upon you. It starts with, if you will give ear to my commandments, do that which is right in the Lord's sight. You know, it's right there. These are the things that God always commanded them. Obey my voice. Obey my commandments. Even in Exodus chapter 19, the Lord came to them in verse 5 and said, look, if you will obey my voice indeed, now that's verse 5, then you will be a chosen, peculiar treasure unto me above all people. But you must obey my voice and keep my covenant. That's, you have to keep his commandments. You have to obey his voice. And the people said, yes, we will. But no, they didn't. When they heard that voice, they said, well, and they saw the thunderings in the next verse, next chapter. They saw all the thunderings and saw everything. They said, well, we can't hear the voice of God. We will die. We hear the voice of God. And I said, well, if God wanted you to kill you, you'll be dead already. You know, so, but God told you, keep my commandments. Obey my voice. I've been telling them, and I'm trying to deal with them throughout the Old Testament like that, you know. Now, in the New Testament, it comes to us and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody came to you and said, what might I do that I might do the works of God? I said, well, believe on him whom God has sent. And so people now think, because of that, that all you got to do is just say, I believe. And then you don't have to do anything. Just believe in the Lord. And then you don't have to do anything. Well, if you believe, you will do. Because, you know, the Bible says, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. You know, you believe, you will also do. Jesus said, if you call yourself my friends, you will do my commandment. Now, what is then is his commandment? Well, number one, this book of the law, this Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means you'll be reciting it. That's number one, this book of the law. Then number two, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. But first, you must be obedient to this word right here. You're obedient to this one, and the Holy Spirit will tell you other things. You're not obeying this one. Holy Spirit will not tell you anything else. Because it's already here. One man said to, there was a story that Jesus gave. There was a rich man and another one called Lazarus, the beggar, not the one that was raised. And then, you know, the two of them died. The rich man, he fared sumptuously, had all things and so forth. The poor man, he was very poor. Even the dogs were licking his wounds. And two of them died. One went to hell. The other one went to Abraham's bosom. The one that went to hell, when he saw that he was in torment, he said to Father Abraham, send Lazarus. He saw Lazarus over there. Send Lazarus to bring some relief. Man said, no, there's a great gulf between us. We can't do it. He said, okay, well, let me go to my brothers so I can warn them so that they will not come into this place of torment. Abraham said, no, sorry. That's not going to happen either. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the scrolls. They have the word of God. If they don't believe the word, then there is no need some vision or some dream or somebody raised from the dead. It's not going to mean anything. You already have the scriptures. If you don't believe the scriptures, forget it. You know, I've heard stories of people who come back from the dead. And then they come and give testimony. Do you know that the only people that believe those things are the believers? It makes impact only on believers. If you don't believe this scripture, even if somebody come back from the dead, say I was going to hell, it's not going to make any difference. Because this scripture is already given. And you must believe it. If you don't believe it, you know, what good is it? It's the same, that means the same thing in our lives. God already gave us this word, and we must live by it. Man shall live by this word, not by bread alone. If you don't live by this word, well, expecting the Holy Spirit to tell you something different, forget it. You know, first, you obey this word. He's giving us this one. Now, keeping his commandments, that's active obedience. Doing what is pleasing in his sight, that's passive obedience or submission. And, you know, Jesus one time, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And he said, but nevertheless, not my will be done. I mean, he had a choice to go through with it or not. You know, there's always a choice, ladies and gentlemen. Some people say, well, I didn't have a choice. Well, you did have a choice. Your choice was to say that you didn't have a choice. There's always a choice. No matter where you are, what you are doing or not doing, it's a choice. Life is full of choices. You can choose to obey my voice, saith the Lord, or choose to do your own will. It's a choice. God gave them a choice. Right there in the Garden of Eden. Of all the trees in the field, in the garden, you may freely eat. But of this one over here, don't mess with it. You know, but they had a choice. There's always a choice, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a choice today to obey his voice. Keep his commandments. But it's not just for keeping sake. There are benefits of it. If you want an experience that is differentiated, that's what I want to call it this morning, a differentiated kind of love. Not the John 3:16 love, but the differentiated kind of love, it's precipitated upon keeping his commandments and doing that which is pleasing in his sight. Even all of our requests. The scripture we started with in John 3:22. Put it out right there. We have whatever we ask of him because we keep his commandments and do what's pleasing in his sight. It's that simple. Now, who then can keep his commandments? Well, the Holy Spirit will enable you. Amen. That is the role of the Holy Spirit, to enable you to keep his commandments, because you can't do it. Because this flesh wants to go opposite direction. The flesh hates God, and God hates the flesh. And the two of them are contrary one to the other. That's why you must put the flesh on the altar. Hallelujah. That's where the flesh belongs, on the fire of the altar. That's where it belongs. It doesn't belong anywhere else. And don't you ever get that flesh out of there. Don't put on that flesh again. Bible says, put off that flesh. Put off that old man. Put him on the altar. Let him die daily, Paul said. Paul said, I die daily. Well, you know, now that we understand that, what is it that makes us to not do his will? The flesh. The flesh is what makes us to do our own will. You know, when you already know what the Lord says, like, you know, forgive. You know, you already know that. The flesh says, I can't do that. But they hurt me so bad. The flesh will keep you all the time from doing the will of God. That's why you must put the flesh under. Kill the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill the voice of reason. You must kill it. You must kill that daily. And then listen to the voice of the Lord. Obey my voice indeed. Well, you say, well, I don't know how to hear the voice of God. Well, read these scriptures. You read these scriptures first, you figure out how to hear the voice of God. You know, that's not my lesson today, so I don't want to go into that. But look, many of us are guilty of doing our own thing rather than doing the will of the Father. You know, you say, well, you know, I mean, all these things are lawful for me. Yeah, they may be lawful, but is it pleasing to the Father? Is it pleasing in his sight? You know, so that's the thing. You know, there is a price to be paid to please the Father. It is putting the flesh on the altar. You know, there's a price to be doing our own thing. Just do whatever you want. I can do whatever I want. Fine. Do whatever you want. But know that all, you know, God said in all these things, he will bring you to the judgment. You can do anything you want. But, you know, the word Jesus said, look, I don't need to judge anybody. The word that I have spoken will judge everybody. God will never change this word. You know, some people think we are now in the modern world. So, let's rewrite the Bible. And let's change all these things. You can do it all you want, but God's word remains the same. Praise the Lord. He's not going to change his word. I don't care who you are. Not for any angel. Not for any apostle. Not for any prophet. Not for anybody. And if you think you're going to make him change his word, he'll kill you for it. You know, so one man, you know, called Balaam, you can read his story in Numbers 22 and 23, wanted to make God change his word. And God said, okay, fine. You know, but the angel of the Lord was waiting for him to kill him. You know, so be careful now. The Lord has put his word down. I will not alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. He's not going to change his word. People are changing his word today. People have rewritten the Bible. They give you all kinds of versions. Change the Bible any which way. By the time they are finished, it doesn't even look anything like it. You know, but God's word remains the same. Praise God. Now, there are many kinds of voices, and you must sift out the things that are not God's voice. You know, so our exhortation today is simple. There are many benefits, but the one I want you to focus on is getting the revealed presence of the Lord. There's no price to be paid for that one. Can't put a price on it. You know, I mean, there's a commercial that says, oh, this one, that one, but this one is priceless. Well, you know, getting him to come after you is priceless. Because he said, the man that is obeying my voice and doing my way, I will come after him. And I will come unto him. And I will make my abode with him. Now, that's different from us going to the Lord. And we must do that. But now the Lord said, look, I have found you to be perfect in your ways. You have crossed that line of obedience. Hallelujah. And that's perfect obedience and perfect submission. When you cross that line, he will come to you. And I will make my abode with you. And I will manifest myself unto you. Well, manifest? Well, absolutely. Because the best that we know of the Lord right now is still shrouded. It's shrouded. It's shrouded in glory, but it's shrouded nonetheless. You know, but as you begin to press towards that perfect submission and perfect obedience, he will reveal himself to you. Hallelujah. And now, I pray that the Lord will give us understanding. So let me repeat. I'm going to wind it down here. Summarize what I've said so far. In this short exhortation, active obedience and passive obedience. Many of us know about active obedience. Well, God says something, we try to do it. Okay. But passive obedience, that's submission. You know, that's even if he did not say it in black and white. Because some people, they are looking for the one in black and white. God didn't say, I cannot do this. Well, but are you doing always the things that are pleasing unto him? That is passive obedience. And it's called submission. I'm submitting my will to him. I could have done this. I mean, it's lawful for me. However, I submit. Hallelujah. I surrender all. You know, withholding nothing. You can't withhold anything from the Lord. It's like, you invite the Lord to your house. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That Revelation 3:20 is not for unbelievers. Some people use that to preach to unbelievers. Did you know that that is a message to the church? All those things were written to the churches. Jesus is not standing at the door and knocking for unbelievers. It was the door of his own church. His own very church have kicked him out. His own very people, they are kicking him out. And even when they get him in, instead of giving him the master key, we have a lot of keys, and we handle Jesus. This room's over here. This one's, yeah. But this room over here, you know, you can't go there. So that's exactly how we are doing in our lives. There is one thing that we are holding on to. You know, maybe it's our unforgiveness. Maybe it's the gall of bitterness. Maybe it's whatever, whatever. But we will not trust the Lord with that thing. And Jesus at the end says, why didn't you trust me with that? Why didn't you trust me with that? He said, well, you know, there will be no excuses. No excuses. You must submit it to the Lord. Hallelujah. Submit it to the Lord. Submit even your own will. What I say to you, I say to myself first today. So it's not just a message of me preaching to you. It's the Lord preaching to us. All of us. Praise the Lord. Now, if you will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Jesus, you know, some people think that we are the only one always pursuing the Lord. No. We must pursue him. That's right. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So we must pursue the Lord. But sometimes the Lord is pursuing us, you know, coming after you. But we don't open the door to him. So you just be there. You know, you knock, knock, knock. He's trying to come in. You don't. Then he, you know, either he gets frustrated and he leaves or whatever. You know, that's why I say, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, you grieve that Holy Spirit enough times, you know, he may just walk away. You know, so how then must we know or can we know that we are in alignment with the will of the Father? Well, the will of the Father is revealed in his word. And even the things that is not expressly listed in his word, the Holy Spirit is like a barometer. He'll guide you, you know, and he will show you. And he will guide you into all truth. But we must start by obeying his voice. You know, some people like to justify themselves. We won't obey the Lord, then we justify ourselves. Do you know what Jesus said about that? Read with me Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus said, ye are those that justify yourselves. You justify yourself. Nobody can just, look, you may be justifying yourself before men, saying, well, all these things are okay, and so forth, or whatever you want to say, I can do. But God knoweth your hearts, he said. He said, for those things which are highly esteemed among men, even some things that we esteem, they're an abomination to God. I mean, can you imagine? What are the things that we esteem in life? Well, you know, we esteem honor, accolades, titles, degrees, houses, cars, affluence. I mean, you name it. All the things that we may esteem in life. Yeah. The Lord looks at it. They are highly esteemed among men. And these things are an abomination to God. It's not even that these things are not pleasing. It's even abomination. This is repulsive. I mean, you go beyond not merely not pleasing. It's actually repulsive. You know, it's like repulsive to him. The things that we think are so great. Praise God. That's all. That's how far we are removed from the nature of Christ. In the carnal mind. But when you begin to submit to God, he aligns you with the Christ. Because that is the purpose of everything. At the end of the day, we will be just like the Christ. Anybody want to be like the Christ? Well, Christ was obedient in all things, even unto the point of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Submitted himself to the will of the Father, even to the point of dying a shameful death on the cross. Now, whereas God has said that in his mind, we will all become like the Christ. This is what he said. Romans 8 and 29. For whom he did foreknow, them he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Christ. We will be exactly like the Christ. But how did Christ do it? Through obedience. So that's how we must follow in his steps. I want us to stand to our feet. And we are going to pray. Not a very long teaching or long exhortation today. But I do want us to know that, you know, there are many blessings to keeping the commandments of God and doing his will. Praise the Lord. I want us to pray for ourselves. I'm going to pray over the people in just a minute. But first, I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. That's right. We all need help. So let's begin to pray. Take a few minutes and pray. Lord, help me in the keeping of the commandments of God and in doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. I want you to pray that prayer. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you praying? Lord, we thank you. We thank you, 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 we thank you. Grant each one of us the grace, Lord, to keep your commandments. Thank you, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take this point in prayer. The very thing that Adam lost from the beginning. He lost the right to the tree of life. Kicked out of the garden. The cherubims got in the way. At the end of this book, after all from Genesis to Revelation, right at the end, he says in Revelation 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that keep his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. The very tree of life to which Adam lost his right, you will get it by keeping his commandments. Powerful stuff. Let's pray. Father, O Lord, teach me thy way that I may know thee. Give me thy grace, Lord, to enable me to keep your commandments and to do always those things that are pleasing in your sight, that I may have right to enter in through the gates, and I may have right to the tree of life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. I surrender all today. Will you surrender your will to him today? I surrender all to him, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Will you surrender all to him today? Will you say yes to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to hold back nothing. Oh, nothing. The praise team can go ahead and sing that song. I surrender all to him, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Sing it along to you, not just the praise team. Let's all sing it. Everything. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for everyone that has made these pronunciations today. The Lord help us in Jesus' name to see not our life as our own. They love not their lives even unto the death. They're not holding on to their lives. They give it to the Lord. I give myself to you, Lord, so you can use me. Lord, to you I belong. You are bought with a price, the Bible says. Grant us, O Lord, the grace to be obedient, to keep your commandments, and to do only that which is pleasing in your sight. That we also may boldly say that the Father has not left us. He is with us. He has come to make his abode with us, because we do always those things that are pleasing in his sight, and we keep his commandments. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that's a consecration kind of message, but we need to hear that from time to time.